So I'm going to be talking about a broken and contrite heart. And what does that even mean? I mean, it doesn't sound like it's very much fun. But I have this really cool thing that we got in our harder than chocolate study. Oh, I mean, sweeter than chocolate. It was a hard study. Now it's Freudian. Now it's Freudian. But we learned. Wow. Well, it's always good to humble yourself right away. We got a blue letter app, a blue letter Bible app. It taught us how to use that. You can use this interlinear tool on it, and so you can look up cool words in the Bible all the time, just like that. It's like immediate gratification if you happen to be looking on your phone. So I looked up those words, and the Hebrew words for that are shabar and dekah. That's broken and contrite, and they mean crushed to pieces, collapsed, crippled, broken, shattered. And when you use those words to modify the word heart, what you get is a big, like, the weight of guilt crushing down on heart, a deep, intense remorse. And our culture has really become incredibly numb to sin, even as a Christian culture, we do. We were just really numb to it. But we are hyper and oversensitive to any discomfort whatsoever. I know I am. It's pretty uncomfortable. We like comfort. I like pillow-top mattresses, and I like pain pills when I hurt, and I like air conditioning, and I like heaters, and I like people to say sweet words to me, and if I had enough money, I would get my fat sucked out instead of trying to exercise. I like comfort and easy, and that's what I refer to as the law of me. Those are my rules, my focus, my choices, my comfort. But life doesn't revolve around us. And this life has a lot of pains and has a lot of wounds. And sometimes we bring it on ourselves, and sometimes other people bring it on us, and sometimes, you know, life just happens because we live in a fallen world, and cancer comes, and floods come, and we lose people that we love, and we live with circumstances we thought were ours forever, or we don't get the circumstances we thought we were gonna get. And over a period of time, how we respond to those things take a toll on our heart. And I don't even think we're really aware of it most of the time. It's really, really subtle. It's really, really subtle. It's kind of like weight gain. You're just like, just one more bite. Just one more bite. Just one more bite. And then pretty soon, you're full like your pants, aren't you? Well, the same thing happens to our heart over a period of time. A little bit creeps in. We get a little harder. And we get a little harder. And we get a little harder. And we get hearts of stone. And I just want us to take a second or two and to get a heart checkup. Chest pain from holding on to old hurts and wounds. You know, those valuable memories that we like to hold on to, like grudges or things that we stuff and we don't want to deal with. There are acute events that cause like a sudden injury to your heart, but you know those big things? We usually go right to the hospital. When we're bleeding out, we go. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about those things that we let a chronic buildup happen and occur. Usually they tend to be things that are relationship oriented. Things our parents may have said to us, things our spouses said to us, things our coworkers said to us, things somebody said to you 10 years ago at this retreat, perhaps. Those kind of things, they can build up. We start to get blockages. Number two, that's up by the brain there. It says lightheadedness. This is a biggie. This is a really biggie, especially for women. Are you lightheaded from fretting or perseverative thought or overanalysis of your behavior? Do you have addictions or things that you lust after? Are you chronically comparing yourself to somebody else? Are you chronically discontent?
Do I look fat?
In this lighting, is my hair like really, really thin in this lighting? God, I wish he was more like my husband. I wish my husband was more like him. I wish I had a husband. I wish I didn't have a husband. What if I come up here and what if? You know, I have been struggling with depression since the womb. I wonder why I struggle with that over and over and over and over and over again. I wish I could pray like her. Oh my gosh, her prayer is so pretty. I wish I could pray like that. Sometimes we just get so self-absorbed, and the most common sentence coming out of our mouth has the word I, me, mine. We're not even aware of it. Number three, are you experiencing jaw or neck pain from speaking critical words or looking down on others? You know, and I really didn't think I had this one. And it's kind of embarrassing. The Lord's like, oh, baby girl. Do any of these sound familiar to you? Hey, idiot, thanks for cutting me off. My dad is such a jerk. You know, they really should do something about that. Uh-huh. Those people, they're so annoying. Uh-huh. Did you just load the dishwasher like this? Seriously? Let me show you how. Are you experiencing shoulder pain from self-reliance or self-serving behavior? You don't mind working hard. Matter of fact, you will work really, really hard, but you are so hopeful someone's gonna capture a picture of you doing it. You're out of the church pulling weeds, so somebody please, come on. Picture on Facebook. Or maybe you're too prideful for us to ask for prayer. How can I pray for you today? Oh, sister, I need prayer. Not Jesus. I'd be happy to pray for you. Or do you have shortness of breath from repeated sighing or exasperation? Seriously, right now, I am so done with this. But she says that word, beloved, one more time, I am gonna scream. All those steam-like noises coming out of your face. Do you know what all those things have in common? All those things up there? They all have pride, that over-inflated sense of self. It's the mother of all sins. It started in the garden. The first time we said, God, you don't satisfy my soul. I want something else. Well, if we don't deal with that stuff, we don't deal with all that stuff, we become bitter, insecure, chronically malcontent, angry, forever victimized, anxious messes. And I don't know about you, but I don't want that. So we're going to turn to a really sweet story this morning. If you have your Bible, please turn to Psalm 51, because I have good news. It's not too late. This is reversible. Okay, this happens to be from the NLT version, just in case you're wondering. For the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time Nathan the prophet came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. So if you don't know the story, this is just a brief capture. So David's in his palace, he's the king of Israel, and he's probably supposed to be at battle with his men, but he's not. He's looking over his palace, and he sees Bathsheba bathing, and he's all, hey. And he has somebody go get her, and he calls for her, and I don't know this part of the story, if she was raped, if she went willingly, I don't know that. It's not addressed, but that's not part of this teaching this morning. Anyway, they have an adulterous relationship, she becomes pregnant, and she sends word to David, dude, And he says, oh my goodness, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call your husband home from battle. He's going to sleep with you. No one has to know about this. Uriah comes home. He doesn't do that because he's feeling bad about his men being at battle. Word gets to David, hey, Uriah didn't go home. He didn't sleep with his wife. And he's like, oh gosh. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put him out on the front lines, and he's going to get slaughtered. And he dies. So David's thinking, I can cover this up. I'm going to take Bathsheba to be mine. Now it's all good. She's my wife. And the baby dies. It's horrible. It's a horrible, horrible, layered sin. And David, the man noted for being after God's own heart, he planned it, he carried it out, and he went to a boatload of trouble to try to cover it up. But he's eventually called out on it by Nathan and by God. And then this beautiful thing happens. It's beautiful. He breaks big. It's Breaking Big. It's like the sequel of Breaking Bad, but it's original. You know, sometimes you say these things, they just start coming out, and you're like, oh, that shouldn't just come out of my mouth. But you know what it happens? He's crushed. David is just crushed, and he should be, because he knows God's own heart. And he doesn't make excuses. He doesn't say, you don't know what it's like back in that palace with all those women. You don't know. I'm the king. I can do whatever I want. Well, I made it right, Lord. I made it right. I married her. No, he doesn't do anything. He just confesses it, and he lets God restore his heart. And that's what this psalm is about. It's about a changed heart. So let's read. Verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. We are so afraid to come clean with God, but he already knows it. He already knows us. He already sees us. He already knows what we have that we're stuffing, that we want to get rid of. He's full of love and compassion, just like David said. He is not a God that we should be worried about going to. We went over the scripture last night, right before we took communion, and that was Isaiah 53, 5 through 6. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. That's that same word. Broken and contrite. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. His plan is not for us to stay stuck. His plan is for us to be in the healing, to be healing with him, to allow his healing in. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. There's that law of me thing that goes on, the law of me. And the Lord has laid it on him, the iniquity of us all. That is the God that we're afraid to go to. That is not a God to be afraid to go to. That's the God that brings peace. Back to Psalms. Wash me from my guilt, purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. His sin was agonizing him. And we do that too, don't we? Oh my gosh, what did I just do? What did I just do? What did I do? And the closer you know God, the closer you walk in his light, the more that stuff starts to show. And we see our impurity because we're coming closer to him, and we realize how incredibly sinful we are. But we don't want to go up in that light. We like to stay back here. You know, I look a lot better in this lighting back here, Lord. I don't want you to see this garbage that I have. He's like, baby, I already see it. Come closer. He goes on to say in verse 4, against you and you alone, I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. And you may be thinking, like I did when I was reading a story, I'm like, but what about what he did to Bathsheba? And what about Uriah? And what about the baby? How can you say, against you and you alone I have sinned? His sin hurt a lot of people. But if you trace that back, where that sin started, it started at discontent. It started when he said, Lord, you do not satisfy my soul. And that's what David is saying. Lord, I know I broke your law, Lord. It started right here, right here. This sin is against you. Verse 5, I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. David acknowledges he was born into sin, and the only one who can truly clean our hearts is God alone. Unfortunately, our friends can't clean our sin, and our spouses can't clean our sin, and our counselors can't clean our sin. They can all help point to it, but it's God who does the cleansing. Verse 9, eight. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. There's our word again. Now let me rejoice. That brokenness, it leads to a beautiful thing. It leads to restoration of joy, the fullness of God in you. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. If you have not experienced fellowship of the Holy Spirit, Him speaking in the stillness of your heart, please pray for that this weekend, because there is nothing, nothing like it. The more that we purge ourselves, the more room there is for Him in there. And it is a sweet, sweet, beautiful thing. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to the rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. David wants his testimony, this mess that he has, to speak to the rebels. Well, we're all the rebels. That's all of us. And you know what else? We all have messes that he wants to write stories for. You have a story. You have a story. You have a story. We all have a story that he wants to redeem. And you know, sometimes we're so afraid of our big secret sins getting out. Look at David's sin. It stinking made it to print. It made it to print. And we keep reading about it over and over again. And he chose the line for a Savior to be born through David. He glorified that mess. He can do that for you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken or repentant heart, O God. And David had tons of wealth, tons. He could have offered burnt offerings out the wazoo, but he didn't, because he knew what God wanted. He wanted his heart. That's what he wants from us. He doesn't want us to pay penance. He doesn't want to increase our tithe. He doesn't want us to work harder. He wants us to hand our hearts over. He wants us to be crushed in remorse for choosing all that other coping strategies, all that baggage, all that garbage over him. He wants us to walk in freedom. And there was something else that was bugging me about this scripture. You know, it's over and over in the Bible, it'll say, David's heart was holy for the Lord. 1 Kings 5:3, he walked in all the sins that his father did before him, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord, as the heart of David, his father. And I can't think, how is committing adultery and murder wholly true to the Lord? So I looked the word up again. And that word is shalem. And it means, it's similar to shalom. And it means complete, safe, peaceful, whole, full of peace. It doesn't mean sin-free. It meant David's heart was complete and at peace in the Lord. It didn't mean he didn't need maintenance. It meant he allowed God to come in and restore it to completeness. Brokenness and being contrite is not something to fear. It's not something ugly. It's not something bad. You're not being bullied. That was for Charlotte. We need to keep doing that maintenance and allowing him in. And that was the aha moment for me. When we follow the law of meat, the things we think are going to make us feel better, we just get yucky. And we keep getting more yucky. And we keep getting more yucky. But when we follow the ways of the Lord, he brings us peace. He brings us healing. He brings us completeness. Because that's how he is. Man's his upside down world, you know? The lost are found, and he exalts the humble. And he surrender leads to freedom, and brokenness leads to wholeness. And he tells us that his ways are not our ways, but we just don't believe him. Lord, help us with our unbelief. But this year, actually the last couple months, I just kind of experienced a little bit of God working in my life. And I can honestly tell you that I would never give up the treasure that he gave me. Just in the last 2 months, my daughter eloped, and because she loves her daughter, she took her daughter too, because they used to live with us for 12 years, so I don't get to see my granddaughter every day like I used to. And there was a hole, but it was like, okay, it's time. She's lived with us for 12 years. And I got plans for this new season, whatever you want to call it. Oh, my husband has plans for that season too. He got us a puppy. Man, she's adorable, but I'm being held hostage in my own home. So I had planned for this new time period to have freedom, and it wasn't. So I've lost my daughter, I've lost my granddaughter, and I've lost my freedom just like in 2 weeks. And then my dad's cancer advanced, and he's actually my stepdad, but I call him my dad, or most of the time I refer to him as my mean old man, because he was a mean dude. So in February or March, his bone scan showed that it metastasized everywhere. And he became extremely weak, and he went on hospice, but he also requested the end-of-life medication. And I don't know if you know, it's legal in California now. And it's not what you'd think. I thought it'd be like a little pretty pink cocktail or something that he'd get. And I'm not in favor of it, but I took him to all his appointments. And it's 90 pills. It's 90 capsules that you have to open. He didn't take it. I'm sorry, I'll just tell you the spoiler. He didn't do that. But I didn't know. He wasn't going to do that. So he receives these pills. And I'm feeling a sense of urgency because, you know, my mean old man is not saved. So he's either got less than 6 months or he's got 2 minutes if he decides to take those things. And I'm talking to him every chance I get about where you're going to go. You know, what about heaven? Going to heaven? And just anytime the Holy Spirit's opening up a time, I share with him. And I'm like, you have been given a gift because you know that you're going to die soon and you can make amends. And he's all, what? What do you mean? I said, you know, you can make amends. Like, I made my peace with you. You can make peace with people. You can tell them you're sorry. And he's like, I don't need to do that. And I'm like, are you stinking kidding me? This is the man that lost me for 9 years. And he doesn't need to make amends. Not only that, I mean, he just hurt lots and lots and lots of people. And I'm thinking, you are one seriously angry man, and you don't need to make amends with anyone? And God had given me a gift years ago. I could see him as a baby. as a little boy who was really, really hurt by someone. And I was able to forgive him. But you know what? There's another layer came open. Because I didn't feel that sense of urgency anymore. All of a sudden I was like, I don't count again. I'm like, where's that coming from? And I kind of went numb. And I was like, I don't have that same sense of urgency. It's on you. You're gonna die, buddy, it's on you. And like my heart got hard just that fast. Just that fast. And every time he would bark at my mom, I would think, please just hurry up and die. Just hurry up and die. I am so ashamed to tell you that. Because I didn't think that was in me, and it absolutely was. And coincidentally, I got this teaching. And I thought, how am I gonna go up there and be a hypocrite? I just felt like I was faking it. And I'm praying for brokenness. And my dad's falling every day, and he's screaming at my mom, so I start going over there to just give her a break, just to give her a break from him. And then on Sunday, it was September 10th, I went forward at church, because I'm thinking, oh my, sorry, let me blow my nose. I'm thinking, I really need to be broke of this. There's somebody dying, this is somebody's life that we're talking about. So I go forward, and Laura and Maureen prayed over me, and Laura said, have you forgiven him? I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgive him. She goes, does he know it? And I'm like, well, yeah. So I made my peace with him. And that haunted me, because I had never just told him the words that I had forgiven him. So I'm sitting alone in his house. I mean, he's there, but he's asleep, and I start praying, and I'm like, Lord, just break me. Just break it. Just get this garbage out of here, Lord. Whatever is blocking you, please give me another opportunity to share with him before it's too late. And I hear something moving in the room, so I go to check on him because he always gets up when he's not supposed to. And he's just kind of staring at me. I'm like, are you okay? Stupid thing, he's dying, but I mean, you know, you just keep saying this thing. You know, you say the stupidest things, but I just like, and he's like, no. I'm having these dreams. He goes, I have dreams about dying. And I'm like, well, can you tell me about him? And he just stares at me, he doesn't say anything. I'm like, well, I mean, are you seeing people, you know, that have died before you, or is God talking to you? What's going on? Doesn't say anything. I'm like, oh, dude, see something. And well, who did you see? Oh, I saw my sister. You know, well, did she look happy? He's like, no. And his sister committed suicide. And they said, well, you know, if Jesus comes to you, if Jesus comes to you, you take his gift, okay? You take his gift because he really loves you. And so do I, and I forgive you. I forgive you. And I'm bawling and I'm slamming all over him. And just like, and he's bawling, and he says, he goes, I love you too. And he said, I took the gift. And I what? He goes, and I know God loves me. And I'm like, and he said, what? He took the gift, and then he starts talking about how he had a gift of not having any pain. And he's kind of out of it. So I don't know. He never mentioned the word forgiveness. But I have hope now. I got a hope. And that was kind of the last day that he could really have any kind of a meaningful conversation, because he lost his language and everything else. And then on September 14th, God gave me this scripture. And it says Psalms 107, 8 through 9. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Lord, fill my soul, fill my soul. And I start seeing my dad is this giant, pale baby man. And he was so confused. And he was emaciated. And then that thing came, you know. The thing that I always told God, I don't want to do that. I don't want that, Lord. But it's really asking too much. And I became incontinent. And I just never wanted to see those parts ever again, you know? And I couldn't leave them there like that. Just couldn't. He was just a child of God. That's what I saw. And I'm cleaning him up. And he's naked and his stomach's all sunken. And I'm trying to keep him covered with a towel. I'm just trying to keep him modest as much as I can. And his arms are like on each side of the hospital bed. And I'm like, why is this like so familiar? It was like one of those paintings of Jesus hanging on the cross. And I thought, oh, what you have done for the least of these, you have done for me. Like, it was the sweetest gift I have ever received in my whole life. I have never been so full of Christ ever. The thing that I had feared the most, that I didn't want to do ever again. I just didn't want to do that. And the Lord took it and he made it into the biggest, most beautiful gift ever, ever, ever. Whatever you fear the most, please give it up. Please just give it up. Because you're going to get something really, really sweet out of it. So, so sweet. I can't even explain it to you. Because what if I had said no? What if I had said, God, you're not enough. You don't satisfy my soul. I would have missed all this. What if I had said, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. That's just too much. I would have missed that. Please don't miss it. Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you come spiritually bankrupt, when you come empty and you receive him, he gives you the kingdom of heaven. He gives you everything. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When you come with a deep grief, that godly sorrow for all the sins that lead to death, you receive the fellowship of God. Because that's how his world works, as the beautiful upside down world of God. Just take everything off your laps. And the words are not on the screen. Because I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to let God in. I want you to just let him minister to your hearts. Let him pull that stuff up. Let him get to it. I'm going to pray really quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, I long to heal us, Lord. And God, I pray for everyone in here, myself included, Lord, that you search through our hearts, Lord. Let us be so acutely aware of your presence, Lord, and your sweetness. And let us not be afraid, Lord. this piece delivered from our garbage. Your holy and precious name. Amen.